land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Light has arisen, my dear brothers and sisters. Today we're focusing on this reality of Jesus, the light who comes into the midst of our darkness, in the midst of the darkness of our humanity. The gospel passage today is very beautiful because in this little pericope, which means a little kind of paragraph of the Bible, we see encapsulated the three kind of elements of our salvation that happen. What are these three elements I'm talking about? First, Jesus comes, the Savior comes, the light comes into the darkness. Second, there's a call to repentance. The gospel tells us that Jesus basically continued the exact same message that John the Baptist was saying. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then after repentance comes discipleship. "Come follow me." And the disciples followed him. That's the three-phase reality of our Christian journey. God choosing us, coming into our life, revealing himself to us in his light, in doing so, illuminating our heart and showing the places of sin and darkness that we choose to sit in. I love that word that's used today. People of darkness, the people who sit in darkness. Sin is something we choose to sit in our life. So God comes and reveals himself to us, the light of the world. He calls us out of that sin, repent, and believe in the gospel. Believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life, that I come not to condemn, but to restore. And in doing so, come follow me as I make you joyful disciples, my beloved sons and daughters. So let's begin with the first part of this three-part process of our transformation, Jesus as the light who comes in the darkness. If you think about light, what does light do? It reveals. So much about conversion is being willing to be revealed. Am I willing to let God reveal the parts of my heart that I don't like to see myself? Maybe that I've covered over because of my sin? Maybe those places of my heart that have been numbed because of the ways in which I've been hurt in life? Or because of my sin, my even awareness of my sin is not even there. My conscience has been so deadened that I can't even recognize anymore that things in my life are hurting me. How do I let God's light reveal those places of my heart? And ask the question, who do you say that I am here? Father Joseph. It's interesting. Light is so beautiful because it's about revealing, and revealing in our life, who are you, Father Joseph? Where does your identity come from? Does it come from me, the Savior of the world, or does it come from these other things? These material possessions you are attached to. These people in your life that are good and bear my dignity, but are not going to give you the satisfaction of your heart that only I can give. These dreams, these things of the world that will never satisfy, that ultimately keep you in darkness, enslaved to the flesh, the things of this world. So that light coming to reveal. And notice how light is not discriminatory. When you put on a light, it's not going to only shine on certain parts of a room. Light is diffusive. It goes wherever there's room for it to be received. So light in our life, wanting to consume our whole heart from Jesus. Jesus is not discriminatory. We're the ones who are discriminatory. You see, when we receive Jesus into our life as disciples, so often we say, "Jesus, here is where you can shine the light." We live our lives so often in brokenness. Our lives is very much shattered. We live our life in almost like boxes. Over here, I've got my life at work. my coworkers, who I am there, my role, my responsibilities, how I relate to my boss and those underneath me. Over here, I've got my family life, my spouse and my kids and all my responsibilities. Over here, I've got my recreational hobbies. That is my time that no one can touch, and I gotta make sure I keep up on my TV shows, keep up all the subscriptions to all these different networks. It's getting hard to keep up with all of them. I think we're up to like three or four now. You got to have Netflix, you got to have Amazon Prime, you got to have Disney Plus. It's tough. And then guess what? Then there's that other box of what? My spiritual life, right? The hour I give to the Lord on Sunday, hopefully. Maybe time I've carved out for prayer. But we tend to divide our life in this way, these little boxes. And we only let God usually into some of those boxes. God, you only can be part of this box, which is my spiritual life. Once you start to demand things of how I do things at work, how I relate to people there, that's too much, Lord. I draw the line there. Or in my family, you know? No, Lord, I'll let you speak to me at 1 hour on Sunday, but if you start to dictate about things, you know, in my bedroom or how I should raise my kids or the ways in which I'm called to be integrated in the church as a family, as a domestic church, no, that's too much, Lord. I'm not ready there. Or my hobbies, Lord, that's mine, you know. I give you the rest of my day. At least give me an hour, you know, a day where I can at least escape. Watch these shows that, you know, they're not too bad, but I know I probably shouldn't be watching them. There's a couple scenes I shouldn't watch, you know. I know they probably don't really actually help me to grow as a child of God, but I need that escape because life is so stressful. We live in a very divided world, and Jesus comes as the light of the world saying, I desire all of you. I've come to save your whole heart, your whole life, to call you to wholeness as my child, not just this little box that you're willing to present to me. Be willing to repent, believe in the good news, and give me your whole heart, that I may restore the brokenness, the separateness of your life, and make you my child. So that's why light is such a beautiful image of what God is doing in our life. You know, it's interesting, so many ways in which we resist God in those realities of Him trying to transform our life. You know, we all want to grow. We all say we want to do that, but we're not willing to change. It's so interesting. You know, darkness, once again, is something we tend to sit in. I choose it. I sit in it. It's a choice I make. And in order to remove sin from my life, in order to allow God to do that, I have to get up and move. Which means I have to get up and change position. I can't just sit there and say, God, change the darkness in my life, change the sin, and we just sit there. Jesus says, no, you have to repent. Come to me, move away from the darkness of your life, and let my light transform you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Think about his call to the disciples. Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice the action verb there, come, follow me. If you sit there in the boat, your life will not be transformed. I'm calling you to give me everything. You got to leave your nets, your work, even your father, and come follow me. Stand up from sitting in darkness and come to the light. Very powerful. You know, we all want a savior, someone who's going to fix the problems of our life, but we don't want a Lord who's going to start speaking to our problems and saying, to have freedom, you have to change. You have to let me have possession of that part of your heart. You have to choose to be a servant there instead of clinging to that thing as your own. We all do that, not letting the Lord transform our life. And because of it, we don't end up as joyful disciples. We end up as like one foot in the world of God and one in the world. We don't let God come and fix our problems. You know, it's interesting. One of the group of people that Jesus had the most problem with during his life were the people who were religiously dishonest. Think about exactly who he's always getting frustrated with, the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are never religiously honest. They portray themselves as this nice, you know, good religious person following the laws of the Lord. And because of that, they're unwilling to receive the repentance that Jesus is calling them to. They're not religiously honest. They're living like we do with different boxes. They're portraying to Jesus, look at this nice box over here of my spiritual life where I'm living according to the covenant. I'm not willing to acknowledge before you, Jesus, that I'm broken. So often in our life, we do that too. That's one of the greatest obstacles to God calling us out of darkness into light. Am I willing to be religiously honest with God, showing him the wounds of my heart, the places where I doubt and fear, the places where I'm not yet ready to commit to you as a joyful disciple, to follow you, Jesus, to get up and get out of that room of darkness? Because at least here, I feel kind of safe. Have you ever sat in a dark room for a long time? After a while, your eyes become accustomed to the darkness, and it doesn't seem as bad. You can even kind of read in the darkness a little bit, you know? And so why do I need to go out of the room? Because I can still read, I can still function. Life's not too bad in here. If I leave the room too, I might be blinded by the light. So there's a fear of the unknown. There's a fear of not knowing what's beyond. Once again, seeing what, also maybe a fear of what other people will see me as if I leave the room. You know, if I'm isolated in a dark room, you know, maybe I've let my hair grow out, my beard grow. You know, I go out and I'm going to look all slovenly. So I'm fearful of turning to the light because maybe I'm not going to be good enough. Maybe other people will see me trying to follow God's will for my life, and they'll see that I'm weak and broken, and I don't believe I have gifts like everyone else. That's for the priests and the deacons and the people who have time to give to the church. I don't think I can do that. See how the evil one uses lies and fear in our life to keep us in that darkness, to keep us from coming into the truth of who we're called to be as children of the light. In receiving Jesus, who leads us out, he doesn't just say, walk out in the light. No, he leads us by the hand. He's the gatekeeper, and he brings us into the fullness of who we're called to be, bringing us into greater communion with the church, allowing us to have courage to represent in religious honesty who we are in the world as children of God, being willing to evangelize and preach the truth, do good deeds in the world, to repent and be transformed. So the question I want to ask you today is, where is God speaking those words to you today to repent? Where are the dark rooms of your heart that Jesus is saying, I want that part of you? You're mine. Let me in. Open the door to your heart to me. Let me lead you out of that room of darkness to the place of light. Maybe that means turning away to a place of sin or addiction in your life. Maybe it means starting to integrate in your life the tools of our faith that help us remain in the light, prayer, the sacrament, you know, being part of a ministry that allows us to grow in community and authentic friendship with people who are going to build us up in the truth. Inviting God maybe into your marriage, the way you parent your kids, the values that you place in your life. Those are all ways in which we invite God to transform us by his light. Finally, I also want to talk a teeny bit about how God does that with us as a church. The second reading today is about that for the church. St. Paul is getting on all the people who are divided, once again, remember the boxes, divided about all these different leaders. Oh, I'm a follower of Paul. Oh, I'm a follower of this disciple of Jesus. Oh, I'm a follower of Christ. And they're divided because they aren't recognizing the one source of light who is Jesus. Paul puts it very powerfully and beautifully when he says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. So being united together as a church, as we let God transform us and allowing his kingdom to come in our life.